Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
I would like to welcome everybody back to the Football is Family podcast. Now, this particular podcast is going to involve sight, not just sound. So in a moment, my guest is going to introduce himself, and then he's going to give you a couple of handles that you can get a hold of him. He's got some neat objects that I'm hoping we could do a show and tell tonight. I think I've got some pictures, but if you've got some things to show me live, that'd be even greater. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Jeremy, my name is Gary Dawn. I am a artist that specializes in wooden football helmets that kind of have a stacked or 3D appearance. I specialize in high school helmets primarily because that is my interest. I just have always been someone that's interested in high school football, and so that's kind of what I specialize in.
Now, I got to see some of yours, and I'm going to, if I can figure out how to do it, I'll link more to Jeremy_McFarland, and I will link your Twitter handle too. I saw some that, let me see if I could pull them up on my phone here, that look like they are almost Tecmo Bowl type. You remember the Tecmo Bowl game?
Or yeah. Yes. Yeah, I did make a few of those. I'm a little reluctant to do helmets that are trademarked.
Yeah,
I felt like those were far enough away that it wouldn't be an issue. But yeah, I did do three of them. I think I did the Eagles, Chiefs, and the Bengals.
I'm looking at the Eagles right now, and that is my favorite one because it looks. I'm an old school fan. That's Kelly Green. That's Reggie White. That's Randall Cunningham. That's the Eagles that I remember in the 90s, in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But some of these that you're looking at, the high school ones, you have one that has a cross on it. Who is this?
That is a high school, very, very impressive program in Michigan. Grand Rapids West Catholic. One of their assistant coaches contacted me and asked me if I could do a layered helmet for them. And that's what you're looking at.
I'm telling you, I like the Titans. Of course, the Titans are my team. Titans moved from a white helmet to a blue helmet, which I kind of like the change. But I love just the either matte white or just bright white. And I'm not really good with colors. Is this kind of bright white? Is it pretty clean looking?
Yeah, I don't think they have a matte helmet. I think it's a glossy helmet.
Glossy. Okay.
Yeah, with that with the cross on it, and then it's got an epoxy resin finish over it, which gives it that more of a shiny appearance too.
Okay. Now, again, you are up to making, if somebody has an order for a particular high school, you're up to for making these.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've had a lot of coaches that have been interested in them. That's been primarily my market, but I'm open to making them for parents, graduates, alumni, booster clubs. Those are the people that have been most interested. I know myself. There have been people that have contacted me that have got them for their group of seniors, and like I know my two boys played high school football and. They got plaques and stuff as seniors, but I don't know how much those plaques meant to them. But this replica of their helmet, I think, would have meant a lot more to them.
You, maybe you're the same to me. A helmet is special because it signifies that you were part of a team or you identify with a particular team.
Sure. Yeah. And I know that, I didn't play 4 years of high school football, but I know that one of the things that guys are always like, God, I wish I could have kept my helmet. Well, this is probably about as close as you're going to get to keeping your actual helmet is having one of these layered helmets that is a complete replica of what you used to use.
Okay. Now, you're talking to somebody here that, number one, has, I can turn on a car, but I don't know how a car works. I'm looking at this helmet. It looks pretty neat, but I don't know how you do it. What do you do?
Well, here's the secret. And it's been a lot of trial and error, but basically what I do, and there are guys that I'm sure could do it a lot easier with a CNC machine, but I have found that I just don't have the time to.
And when you say CNC, what is that?
It's kind of like a computerized cutter. You program in the cutting that you want the router to do. But as I was saying, I don't have the time or the patience to go through the learning curve of learning how to G code and prime that. So or to code it, whatever. So what I do is I go through. This is so old school, but I use what's called Microsoft Publisher. And in Microsoft Publisher, you can print out a banner of any size that you want. So what I do is I take that banner and I tape it together and I lay it on a piece of wood and I cut it out with a scroll saw. And that's what I started doing initially. And then to get that multi-layered look, what I started to do was I stacked one on top of each other and basically cut the helmet out two at the same time with the wood stacked on top of each other. And then once it all came out, I was able to say, okay, I'm going to take this piece here, this thicker piece, I'm going to make that the face mask. And then the helmet, I'm going to keep it a little bit smaller so that it looks like the face mask is standing out a little bit more. And then I cut out the logo so it looks, so it's kind of like jumping off of the helmet a little bit.
So do you just attach the logo? Because I'm looking at this one, if you could see the NE, it looks like it's attached. That you took it from somewhere and attached it to it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's a Northeast. That's a school that's fairly close to me. Ironically, their mascot is the Northeast Grape Pickers of all things.
No, but, that's okay. That's it. That's the greatest one I've ever heard. Great.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, so that one there, yeah, the circle that surrounds the NE is a 1/4-inch piece of MDF. And then those NEs are a 1/2-inch piece of MDF. And then I just set those right on the helmet and I glue them on. And then once I get the helmet 100% complete, then I go ahead and I lay that epoxy resin on it.
It's amazing the color that you have on that particular one, at least. It looks like it's just baked on. Is that basically what you do? Because it's perfect.
No, it's actually... it's spray paint. It's Rust-Oleum. Yeah, it's spray paint you get off the shelf at Home Depot.
Well, how do you get it? So I can't even spray. Well, this tells you I'm not gifted like that. How do you get it? So it looks just like you would take a stencil to it. It looks so perfect like that.
Well, it's after I've cut out these two helmets. That's when the dust bowl begins. I use a product called MDF, which is called medium density fiberboard. I call it the devil's wood because it is the dustiest stuff you can imagine. But anyway, after I get it cut out, then I start sanding and you sand it all down. And then following that sanding, I use a product for automobile. It's called filler primer. And this stuff it's ridiculously strong smelling. I double up my face mask. So you seal up the edges of this MDF so that it, because if you don't seal the edges or the face portions too, the paint will just soak in and look like you never even painted it. So basically I get the whole thing sealed up tight as a drum, sand it again. And then I come back with the spray paint, and the spray paint is actually the easy part. As long as I've done a nice job, dealing it with that stuff.
No, you could tell if you hadn't sanded it right, can't you?
Well, yeah. Then the other thing too is if I haven't done a nice job sealing it, then it's clearly evident because I'll paint it and I'll like, oh, geez, I can see exactly where I missed. It's kind of like back when you were a little kid. I don't know how old you are, but when you we used to go to school and they'd give you these little pills, fluoride pills. You brush your teeth and you take a fluoride pill and you can see exactly where you missed. Well, it's the same way with this. I always think of that when I'm putting this filler primer on, because you can tell exactly where you missed with the paint.
I love the coloring on some of these. This one in particular, it looks like the LA Rams.
Yeah, that's a really prestigious program here in the Erie area, Erie Cathedral Prep. It does look like they may have copied what the Rams are doing nowadays.
We're not going to talk about that. That's not our business. We're not a lawyer show. But it looks, it's so, like you said, it's glossy. And I love how, okay, I'm going to put your work to the test. If you kept this outside, would it keep that glossy look? Do you have that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
That clear shell is, once it cures, it is hard as it's hard as a rock.
Okay, so when you say cured, is that very similar to what you would do with like pottery? You harden it?
I would think so. There's, once this epoxy, it comes in two parts. There's the epoxy itself and then the hardener, and you mix them up, and then you lay it on top of the whatever you're going to seal up. And I think there's like a 45-minute window that you've got to get it positioned on there. And then I have found that over a course of about 24 hours, it'll harden up and really closer to 72. And it's just really unbelievably hard.
That, Gary, I'm just looking at these and I'm just thinking, what got you into this? Was this something that you saw and you think, well, I could do, or is something you said, let me try something new today?
Well, I was still teaching in during COVID, and so COVID hit, and I'd seen some other designs online that people were doing with scroll saw. I kind of skipped over that. When I was talking about cutting out the two boards, that's what I use, a scroll saw rather than the CNC. So I started off doing I got a scroll saw, a cheap scroll saw, to see if I could cut out some of these designs. And I thought, I'm gonna see if I can make myself one of those little gumball helmets, kind of like a 3D version of a gumball helmet. And exactly, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Actually, I have a Houston Oilers one over here. How about that?
I made one.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I made a Kansas City Chiefs one that was about the size of my palm.
Is that it?
No, that's the one that's
the bigger one.
Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, the Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, I had it laying on my palm. So you can see it's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I made that. And I think that turned out okay. But, and then I started, there was another artist online, a graphic artist by the name of Mike Semo. And he had seen that gumball machine, a gumball helmet. And he started to craft some images using a gumball. So I contacted him. He's like, yeah, go ahead and use it. So I decided to go ahead and start doing some gumball stuff. A few teams contact me, say, hey, can you do our high school helmet in a gumball style? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then for whatever reason, I kind of transitioned into this style that I think it's kind of like a Riddell Speed Flex style.
Okay.
So I kind of transitioned out of the gumballs into this more contemporary looking helmet. Anyway, what was your question again about that?
No. Hey, this is your show. You keep going.
Yeah. So anyway, if somebody still wanted a gumball, I'd be more than happy to make them. There are too many guys nowadays that are still interested in gumball helmets.
Now, when you say gumball helmets, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. We'd go to Kmart and they'd have these little helmets. And I'm showing this to Gary, like he knows what I'm talking about. These are just helmets that you get 50 cents.
Yep.
I always wanted the Denver Broncos one. I could never get it. But I ended up getting the Houston Oilers, which now is my favorite team, only the Titans. And I thought that was the coolest thing, that you can get an NFL team in a gumball.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the thing that about the gumball helmets that I thought was endearing was that, number one, it was the strangest looking helmet. It was kind of like a square, rounded helmet, if that makes any sense. The face mask was so goofy looking. And then invariably the sticker that went on the side of the helmet never matched the helmet. It was like a different, totally different shade of like, for example, the Rams, it might've been a blue helmet, but the sticker was like royal blue. It just never matched. So, when I was making the gumballs, I'm like, I'm going to make sure that they don't match. So it looks exactly like a quirky looking gumball helmet. So I made quite a few. I made an LA Express from the old USFL, an Oklahoma Outlaws, which I thought those two helmets were so cool. And then I made a Chicago Fire one, which from the old WFL, which I have vague remembrances of the WFL, but I thought that this Chicago Fire helmet was so far ahead of its time, with a logo. So I made those in gumball helmets, and actually I made some gumball helmets for some high school teams too. And then eventually, it seemed like the interest was more in this Riddell Speedflex style helmet.
Do you find that it's okay? I want you to use this word the way I mean it. Easier to make a gumball one or a bigger one?
I would say it's probably easier to make the gumball because there are fewer parts to it.
Okay.
The Speedflex one, there's a little bit more involved in it, but nevertheless, they're both fun to make. That's for sure.
Now you're in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yeah, Northwestern Pennsylvania.
Northwestern Pennsylvania. So I'm looking at the pictures that you have, especially this one of the Bengals, which I just, again, Tecmo Bowl, just, it goes my heart. To me, Tecmo Bowl is the greatest football game ever made. Tecmo Bowl Super Bowl is 1A, but Tecmo Bowl number one. Do you have a man cave of your own, a workshop that you've been basically kicked out to?
Well, this room I'm sitting in here, it actually used to be my Browns room, but we've kind of restructured it and redesigned it, so it's not really anything. But in the basement, I certainly have a lot of helmets I have that I've made down there. Yeah.
So I mean, so you're, and I'll tell you, I put something out earlier today about if a Browns fan wants to come on the podcast, and you liked it, so that kind of told me it's like you may be in Pennsylvania, but your heart is in Cleveland, correct?
Oh, I have been suffering with the Browns since 1972. They got a quarterback. It traded Paul Warfield to the Dolphins for the rights to Mike Phipps. And I have been suffering with the Browns since 1972. It's just been a lot of beating my head against a wall.
Well, I was about to ask, is that room your throne of sadness?
It used to be, but we've repainted it. So it's there's not a whole lot of sadness in here now, but yeah.
So do you prefer, okay, because the Browns, to me, people want them to change their helmets. Don't change the helmets, Browns. That's just keep it the way it is, I at least in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah.
Do you find that you could make something like that a lot easier without having to do some of the overlays like the Chiefs and the Bengals? Would that be kind of easier to do?
I would think so. I would think so. Again, I'd be kind of reluctant because everything is trademarked and copyrighted.
I'm not saying that you would, but I'm just saying that that would be one thing I do like. I do like it when the Browns put their numbers on the side of their helmets. To some reason, I kind of like that.
Yeah. The way I understand it, they didn't do that. I want to say Jim Brown, during a time with Jim Brown, they may have done it. They had a crazy CB font that they were going to put on there, and that never worked. I don't even know if they actually did that. Yeah. And no, I think that the Browns, the way they are with a gray face mask, old school, that's the way to go, in my opinion.
Somebody asked me, why are the Browns called the Browns when their helmet is?
That's a good question.
I don't know colors. I can't see colors very well. So I said, I'm not the one to ask.
Yeah, I think I've read this and I probably should know it, but I'm not quite sure. I want to say that back in like the 40s, there may have been, I don't know if there was an owner or something whose last name was Brown, but it has nothing to do with Jim Brown as far as I know.
Okay. I heard two stories behind this. Number one, Paul Brown, it was named after him, or it was named after the Brown Bomber, a boxer. And I can't remember who the boxer was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it has anything with anything to do with Paul Brown either. I wish I could know. I'm not sure. I should know that. I feel terrible. There's going to be some Browns fan listening to this and be like, you know what? You're not a serious Browns fan if you don't know the origin of the name.
It's quite okay. I live in an area where the SEC is really big. In fact, it's huge. And we have a team down in Alabama called the Auburn Tigers, and their mascot is an eagle.
Yeah, War Eagle.
It hurts me to even say that, being a Tide fan. I can't say that too loud.
Yeah.
But also the Tide are Crimson Tide, and we have an elephant as our mascot. So, I mean, some things don't have to make any sense.
Right. Right. Like the Oakland A's. I mean, I think they have an elephant as a is there something to do with an elephant in their
Oakland,
their
logo? Please keep the A's. It's not going to happen, but please keep the A's.
I know.
I grew up an A's fan. Anyway, Gary, give me a couple of things before we call it quits today. Number one, you're obviously are talented in what you do. And again, that's part of why I reached out to you, and I'm glad that you reached back out to me. I like talent. I love it when people love something and want to share it. I've had on this podcast people from Baltimore who are big Ravens fans, and being a Titans fan, I don't hold to that very well. But I enjoy talking to them and hearing their stories. I just love it when people are passionate about something, and obviously you are passionate about this. So number one, that's awesome to me. That tells me a lot about you, and I appreciate that. But number two, number two, tell us how we can get a hold of you if we want to reach out and somebody wants to reach out for you to make something. And like high school, do you have to have a copyright paper or something to that effect?
Not that I'm aware of. That's part of the reason why I focus on high school, because as far as I know, there's not an issue with trademark as there would be with college and college and pros. But sure. Not only that, but to me, I just love interscholastic football. I don't care whether it's fifth and sixth grade. I don't care whether it's ninth grade, JV, varsity. I love high school football. And that goes back when I was a little kid, because I can remember going to games and saying, God, I wonder what, Northwestern's wearing on their helmet this year, or, Girard, what are they doing? Or Fairview. These are the schools around me. And you're like, oh my gosh, Harbor Creek is wearing the same helmet as they always wore way back when. So I always found it to be really, really intriguing, and I looked forward to it. But anyway, that's the reason why I focus on high school, because I just love high school football.
That's awesome. I mean, it goes back all the way to your childhood. That's what I'm talking
absolutely.
About. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's funny, because I saw a superintendent on Twitter the other day that posted something, and I wish I would have saved it, but the superintendent said something to the effect of, there's nothing that creates a better atmosphere for the school year than when their athletic teams are being successful. And I think you could even take that to a whole nother level. When your football team is a successful football team, there's so much community pride that develops over the course of a fall season. I just think it's like a springboard to a great year. So there's something special about high school football. I mean, they don't call it Friday Night Lights for nothing. But anyway, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but as far as how to find me, if there's somebody that might be interested in getting a replica of their helmet done, there's a couple ways. I'm on Twitter on Gary's Gumballs. I'd made that account back when I was focusing on those. Or on Instagram, you can just search for the Football Creative. So those are two ways. Or if somebody wants to email me directly, it's Gary's Gumballs. I'm sorry, Gumball Gary Helmets @gmail.com.
I will at least have the Twitter in the show notes, and he's pretty quick to respond to that if you want to. I'm going to tag my daughter's high school in this too. Maybe they'll reach out to you here in Tennessee. You'll ship them, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We might have to have Waverly Central High, the Tigers, have a Gary's Gumball done. Well, a regular size, but
yeah.
Gary, I appreciate you coming on today. This was a pleasure for me to hear your love for this. This is what when I made Football's Family, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You made my day, my friend. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeremy, I appreciate you having me on. I listened to the Football is Family podcast when I was mowing the grass last weekend, binge listened to everything, and fantastic stuff. So I wish you the best of luck in with your continued podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And hopefully I didn't put you to sleep too much so you'll go off and mow off into another person's yard.
No, not at all.
I do appreciate this. And like I said, if you want to get hold of Mr. Gary here, there will be the Twitter handle will be in the notes. And then he has a couple other ways. Thank you for being part of Football's Family podcast tonight, my friend.
You are very welcome.
And y'all, thank you for listening.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.